Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The co-creator of Whose Line Is It Anyway is ready to put the Great American Joke Off in motion tomorrow night on the CW. Dan Patterson joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from London. Also ahead, layoffs at Roku and ABC, The Breakfast Club's TV comeback, our classic trivia question, and make way for Metaverse Television. Something I'd like to see. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, it's opening day of baseball 2023, and tomorrow will be televised. Thank you, and you, and especially you out there from joining us wherever you are. 43 degrees at the top of the hour here in NYC. New York Yankees have their opening game going on at Yankee Stadium as we speak. Mets will be joining in later. All the Major League Baseball teams are starting their season today. And we're happy you are kicking in your Thursday, wherever you are, for the program All About TV's Current and Future Special Edition. Wonderful guests coming your way. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up that phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is open for you, so get in there right now. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can be with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions, and others can be live with you. Dan Patterson joins us live from London after these news notes. The parade of layoff incidents among TV ventures continued this morning. Smart TV device provider and content organizer Roku declared in a securities document that 6% of its employees, that's 200, will lose their jobs over the next few weeks. That's the second time in 5 months that Roku has trimmed its workforce. Roku's filing called the staff reduction vital in lowering year-over-year operating expenses and put more resources into high investment returning ventures. And in the latest stage one motion of Walt Disney's 7,000 employee reduction, 50 ABC News executives and non-camera officials have been moved out. Senior News Gathering Vice President Wendy Fisher and Talent Vice President Mary Noonan. More members of Disney's TV ventures are expected to end their duties between now and the end of June. Popular syndicated morning radio program The Breakfast Club will get its second TV simulcast turn April 17th. That's when BET and VH1 will present the club's 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time Hour, Monday through Friday, co-starring DJ Envy and Charlemagne the God. All 5 weekly episodes will get a second TV window Sundays on BET+. This marks the first daily BET program in 9 years when 106 and Park wrapped its run. Revolt was home to Breakfast Club's first TV play from 2014 to 2021. And now a lot of quickies for you. At least one new Star Trek series will get made and present on Paramount Plus next year. Starfleet Academy is the newbie, dealing with a group of Starfleet cadets in training. Mayans MC gets its fifth and final season going on FX May 24th. The HBO miniseries White House Plumbers, expected originally to debut this month, now is a May 1st premiere. Woody Harrelson and Justin Theroux co-star. Saturday Night Live executive producer Lorne Michaels is developing a TV series about all-time baseball player and, yes, the pride of the Yankees, Lou Gehrig. The Broadway video project will adapt Gehrig's bio book, The Luckiest Man, with author Jonathan Ide co-writing episodes and on board as co-executive producer. Netflix will bring back 2010 cult flick Scott Pilgrim vs. the World as an anime series. That's not all. The movie's key players, led by Michael Cera and Mary Elizabeth Winstead, will reunite to voice their characters. And Tastemade will team up with beer and wine sponsor Constellation Brands on a venture producing original content for Tastemade TV channels and mega content services in general. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from London in Airbnb Exclusive, the co-creator of the long-running series Whose Line Is It Anyway, and the executive producer of the brand-new CW series premiering tomorrow night, The Great American Joke Off, Dan Patterson. Dan, great to have you here.
Thanks, Simon. Very nice to be with you.
How long have you been thinking about doing a program like this, The Great American Joke Off?
Oh, quite a while, actually, because I love jokes, and Whose Line, as you know, is sort of improv, and it has some jokes in it, but it's mainly sort of scenic and character and music. And I've been doing a lot of stuff in England with tremendously talented stand-ups, and I know you have wonderful stand-ups in the States, so I said I'd like to do something that I could use Brits and Americans for and get them to do real quick one-liner stuff, because I think the world's a bit of a miserable place at the moment. So to do any show where at the end of 20 minutes you've heard about 50 gags, I think sort of kind of helps in a small way. So that was it. Quite a few years I've been sort of thinking about it. And then we planned it the last couple of years. And, you know, once the CW gave us the go-ahead, and we, you know, we were delighted to do it, and it's come out really well.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, this is like trying in a world like today, which could use all the humor it could get and then some. This is pretty rapid fire. How does the premise work?
The premise works that we got six comedians and so, sort of a mixture of Brits and Americans. We got Dulce Sloan, who from The Daily Show, who's our wonderful host, and she sort of sets that we have different rounds, and she sets them setups in all the different rounds. So it might be a round called Categories, where we say, all right, what's the category? Lifestyle, and you have to come up with a joke on lifestyle, or family. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, if it was family, a guy said, a couple of years ago I was in the garden scattering my grandfather's remains, which was horrible as he hadn't been cremated. And, you know, then we might have a round called, there's a round called You Think That's Bad, where they sort of compete to who's got the most miserable life, but doing it in one-liners. So I think one guy said, I went to Disney World with my family, and we had such a miserable time that after we'd been on Splash Mountain, we bought a photo of another family's ride. You know that, and then the other one would go, well, you think that's bad? And they would do their own joke. And we've got lots of them. We've got You Know What Annoys Me. We've got one called Celebrity Pickup Lines. We've got, oh, this is a nice one. We've got one called Mincing Your Words, where we just put two categories together. Like, it might be musical artists and meat. And, you know, I think somebody came up with Pjork or Cardi Beef. And then we got celebrities and desserts. It might be with Robert Brownie Jr. You know, so that's a good one. You know, sort of mixing things up like that. We've got a good news, bad news round, a joke board round. We do one that's very popular called Who, What, Where, where it's somebody. So we say it is somebody in a place doing what. So it might be weird things to hear in what? In a commercial. Or it might be deleted dialogue from what? From a sci-fi movie. And so it's very quick fire. Some of it's scenic. Some of it they start. We get a competitive stand-up round where two comedians have to do like 2 minutes on a topic, and we give them the topic and they have to come up with some stand-up on that. So we've got many, many different rounds. Some of the stuff I can't really, if you're PG, I can't really do for you, but it just worked incredibly well. And what was wonderful was how the balance, you know, the interaction between the American comedians and the British comedians worked. It was great. I couldn't have been happier. Of all the series I've done in my 35-year career, and I've done a lot, this was the best first series we've done.
And what connects both this program and Whose Line Is It Anyway, aside from the fact that they're both on the same network, the CW, and in this case they'll be on the same night, tomorrow night, is that they both have very versatile formats. There's so many different exercises, games, situations that pop up in the course of an episode. It's like The Price is Right, for example, where you have all these different games, pricing games, and you never know what games are going to be on what episode. I once asked Mike Richards, the former executive producer, like, how do they determine what games go what episodes? And it's like catch as catch can. Is that the same with you as well? How do you figure out what games go, in this case with Joke Off, what games, what categories are on a particular episode?
Well, there'd be two things. We record a lot of stuff, and I will put in what goes best. So, you know, we don't put everything in we record, and it's not live, but the stuff that works best we put in. And very often, if there's a little runner, a little sort of through line, and somebody says something in the good news, bad news things, which picks up on something they said in the You Know What Annoys Me round, then obviously they've got to go in the same episode. And the other thing is it depends a little bit on who's on. So, you know, we've got wonderful people on it. You know, Joe List, Mark Normand, Natasha Leggero, Moshe Kasher, Alonzo Bowden, Matthew Broussard, Fahim Anwar. You know, really wonderful American comedians. And then we've also got great British ones. We've got Rhys James, Ed Gamble, Glenn Moore, Milton Jones, who else do we have? Hugh Dennis. You know, just lots and lots of different people. And, there was Luke Moniz, who's an American one who I thought was excellent. Rebecca O'Neill, Josh Johnson. Oh, a British one called Tom Allen, who's you know, a big star over here. So it's always the combination of those people. So in one show, if you've got a particular group, they might play one game better, and you go, well, we've got to put that in. And on the other hand, you know, different groups might do things differently. So that's one of the major things. But it's always about the funny. I will always put the funniest stuff in because I want the viewer to come away having laughed a lot. And that's what we've done. So it's packed with stuff. There's one of the things that when we presented to the CW, they said, there's just no time to breathe in this. It just moves so fast. There's no downtime. There's no gaps. There's no wasted time. It's just the jokes. And I love that. That's, for me, a really good use of the 20 minutes we get. And, you know, hats off to the CW, to Mark Pedowitz, who was there at the time, who just gave us this series on trust and said, you do Who's Line. I love that show. I think you can do another one. I pitched it to him. He said, go and do it. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. The Great American Joke Off premieres tomorrow night at 9:30 East Pacific time on your local CW station, and it will be happening after the beginning of the 10th year of Whose Line Is Anyway, hosted by Aisha Tyler with Wayne Brady and Colin Mottfrey and Ryan Stiles and the guest comedian every week. And that's at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific time. And we've got the person involved with both shows as executive producer, and that is Dan Patterson. He joins us live from London. So we got a transatlantic call going your way right here this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Allen with you on the U.S. side of things, where it is now 43 degrees at the top of the hour in New York. If you have a question or comment for Dan, ring it in. Here's the call you use, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Tomorrow, our third episode of the week, will be with you 1 hour later than usual, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. It's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And joining us will be the executive producer and showrunner of the new Hulu series that premiered today, Rap Caviar Presents, based on the famous Spotify playlist. Steve Revo is his name. He'll join us as our lead guest. And in the second half hour, we'll have the creative executive producers of the popular Disney Channel tune, The Ghost, and Molly McGee, Bill Motz, and Bob Ross. All tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, an hour later than usual, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Is this, Dan, a certain benchmark you use to determine what comedians go on a show like The Great American Joke Off?
Well, look, not every comedian, Simon, is right for it, because you've got to be a comedian that gets your stuff there quickly. The whole show is only 20 minutes, 50 seconds. So if you're a comedian who tells anecdotes, which go on for 2 minutes, is just not going to work. But we, you know, we didn't actually audition people physically, but we looked at enormous numbers of people's material, and you can sort of tell who's going to be good on it. And some people actually did better than we were thinking. With the Brits, it was easier because I've been working with them, a lot of them, for many, many years, so I knew exactly who they were and what they could do. But with the Americans, I guess the challenge was to bring over, you know, to work with a whole lot of people that I'd never worked with before. And that was wonderful, because over there, you know, in the States, you've got some great comedians. But it's usually people who are good on one-liners, or at least, if they're not one-liner comedians, they're pretty succinct. That's what I would say. And you know, they've got to be charismatic, and they've got to be very quick on their feet, because it's always lovely if somebody does a line and you come back off the back of it. So the longer the series went on and the more they got to know each other, there was more back and forth. So a big part of it was, are they good on their feet? You know, so often we would say, are they the kind of people that if you went to a club, they would talk to the audience? Because those people tend to be very quick on their feet. So somebody like Alonzo Bowden does that a lot. And he, you know, he was great at doing that. And people like Tom Allen, Rhys James and Ed Gamble also do that a lot. Very, very quick on their feet. So that's what I wanted. People, good one-liner people who could improvise very quickly.
Mm-hmm. On Whose Line, in some of the exercises or games that you do, the audience gets a chance to contribute themes or ideas for specific situations. Did that happen at all with the joke-off?
Not really, actually. We did do, though, one round which appears in some shows where we got the audience to ask us questions. So we called it Ask Us Anything, and they would throw out questions and the performers would come up. So that's not in every show, it's in some of the shows, but that's the only real audience participation. Just because it's, you know, in it's just a slightly different sort of thing. We're using more stand-ups in Joke Off rather than pure improvisers, which is what we use on Whose Line. But could I just also say that the shows that are going out, the show that's going out tomorrow and in a week's time on Whose Line are these specials we've done, which I think are really exciting. They're all unseen material, and they are off. We've got a lot of outtakes, the sort of stuff you won't have seen before, some games that either have never gone out or very rarely go out, and it's that again is even more quick fire than a normal Whose Line. So it's, you know, it's a nice new thing for the first 2 weeks. It's just we had built up so many outtakes and so many little bits and pieces that don't fit into normal shows, and we just thought it would be great to put them out. So if anything, it's a funnier than a normal episode. And so that's what's going to be there tomorrow, and it's going to be also there the week after. And it's also wonderful working with the CW crowd. We've got a new crowd of people in who've sort of seemed to have taken over quite a lot, and they love Whose Line, and they're really excited about the Joke Off. They watched it and went, wow, this is great. Let's get it out there ASAP.
One more thing about Great American Joke Off. Was there a particular category or a particular segment that really surprised you in terms of how well it went, that it exceeded expectations?
I think the celebrity pickup lines did. I really like the who, what, where thing. That worked really well. I love the ones, you know, which are, I guess, maybe a bit more traditional stand-up, you know, like you think that's bad. That worked absolutely every time. We also did one, which I can't give you examples of, but we did it quite a lot sort of a bit later on in the series, called If You Catch My Drift, where they were given an everyday location and had to come up with innocent things you could say there, but they sound more innuendo-y if you add the words If You Catch My Drift. And that one really worked well. But to be honest, almost all the games worked really well for most of the shows. There were one or two. And by the way, if there was a game that didn't work, we dropped it. So, you know, there were one or two that just didn't work. But I think I was quite surprised. The biggest thing that surprised me was how well the British and American comedians interacted with each other. That was wonderful, because you just go, comedy is this international language. Once you trust the other person and you find what you have in common, you can make great comedy. And that happened a lot. And also Dulce was great at keeping that going and contributing herself. So that to me was wonderful, that a lot of people who'd never worked together got chemistry from the word go.
Dan Patterson is the person you're hearing this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He is the co-creator with Mark Levinson of the long-running Whose Line Is It Anyway, which will kick off its 10th year on the CW tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And then right after that, the beginning of the Great American Joke Off, a brand-new series that's at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local CW station. And tomorrow we're going to get into Whose Line and where it is at going into its 10th year on the CW. And in the meantime, if you have a question or comment on our many minutes with Dan, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Tomorrow, the long-awaited Prime Video saga, The Power, premieres. A week ago, we had Rael Tucker, the former True Blood and Jessica Jones executive producer, who is the showrunner on that program, which is already starting to get very good reviews from all around the world. And if you missed that episode from a week ago, catch it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, at our various podcast sites, and our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. And next Thursday, we will have another special edition of our program. We've got some very special people coming your way. First up, the former head of Tyler Perry Studios. She is now forming her own television studio called A Few Good Women Productions. Michelle Sneed will be our lead guest. Also, reset from tomorrow's episode because of an unusual meeting situation, the founder of the new television service, ProfileSport.tv, Diane Wilson. And we'll also have one of the best-selling authors of books all about television, Harvey Pilato, will join us. His latest book is called Radio Retroactive Television, and he's also working on a special about the wonderful actress and star of Bewitched, Elizabeth Montgomery. So all those people will be with us a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. It's been 35 years since you and Mark Levinson put Whose Line Is Anyway together as a radio program. A lot of you don't know, it was a radio program in England first before it became a television program. 35 years later, how do you feel about the fact that it has been one of the longest-running enterprises of its kind?
How do I feel? I feel tired. But, look, I'm delighted that it's been on. I love that show. I think improv, when it works, is better than anything. I think when it doesn't work, it's horrible. But when it does, it's great. We've been lucky to work with the best of the best, both in England and in the United States. And I love the fact there's still an appetite for it. And, of course, it's always different because even if you play the same game, you're always throwing in new ingredients. And because they're improvising it all, they'll come up with new stuff. So, I'm very proud. They have been different. You're right. You know, we had the radio ones, which were obviously not visual and quite intellectual. Then we had the Channel 4 ones in England, hosted by Clive Anderson, which were maybe a little bit more erudite. And Brits sort of tend to play it slightly differently. They often would stand out of the outside the scene and comment inwards. But we had one, you know, Josie Lawrence could sing like an angel, and Tony Strassery and John Sessions, who could, you know, extemporize on any author you threw at him. And then we started getting the Americans like Mike McShane, and obviously Ryan Stiles came in, Colin Mochrie came in, and Greg Proops, those people. And we were doing it for a while, and I just thought, this is great, but I'd love actually to start recording them in the States, because all the Americans are playing on, you know, playing away, and it would be nice if they could play on home soil. And it took us years to get it off the air in America, and finally Drew Carey sort of expressed interest in it, and the minute we had Drew, we were going to get on, because Drew was and is huge and was a great star and loved improv and was a brilliant host. And that round, you know, we did, just to give you an idea, we did about 120 episodes in 10 years in England, and in America we did about 250 in about 3 years. And then it went off for a while, and then it came back. Oh, of course, I should say that the other person who sort of emerged right at the end of the British series and at the start of the ABC one was Wayne Brady, who, of course, you know, is another improv genius. And he was just incredible. So having Ryan, Wayne, and Colin was marvelous. And then Mark Pedowitz at the CW had been a big fan of it. He'd worked at ABC. He was a big fan. He wanted it to come back. So we did it again, but we wanted a new host to sort of make it different. And Aisha Tyler came on, and she's been a brilliant host too. And, you know, they may be slightly different from the ABC ones, but I think they're still just as funny. And we just recorded a whole lot of shows. Now, the shows that are going out this week are not those shows. Those will be going out, I think, later in the year. But, you know, the energy and the brilliance of the guys was still there. And we hadn't recorded for 4 years because of COVID. And so this was the first time back in the studio for 4 years. And the audiences were wonderful. The energy was wonderful. And the performers just, I think, went up even to another level. So I'm very, very proud of it and very pleased with it. It's just exhausting and terrifying to do.
I think the thing that has made Whose Line such a long-running favorite, no matter what version you saw, and let's remember that the British version also was on Comedy Central, and that was what provoked ABC to start their own thing with Warner Brothers Television through their Horizon unit, is that it's versatile. You have all these wonderful comedians, both British and the United States, and there seems to be this wonderful chemistry that just naturally springs up no matter what game they're playing, whether it's Scenes from a Hat or the song parodies, or whether it's sound effects, or even when they have audience members come up to actually be part of the scene that the folks are improvising to, it just seems to connect. It just is natural chemistry just blossoms, no matter who's doing it.
Completely. And look, as I said, we've got, in England we had, you know, people like Paul Merton, Sandy Toksvig, Tony Satchery, Josie Lawrence, John Sessions, just brilliant people. In America, part of the British ones, in America we had Ryan, Colin, and Wayne. Plus we had these wonderful fourth chairs, as we call them, you know, like Brad Sherwood, Chip Eston, Jonathan Mangum, Jeff Davis, and Greg. And along the way, people like Heather Ann Campbell. we've just had wonderful fourth chairs, so they're used to working with each other, and they've all done so many shows, they're very comfortable. And I love American audiences because they really give. You know, they are enthusiastic. They laugh at stuff. They applaud stuff. You get a great energy in improv because it's absolutely, you start off the night with nothing there. You know, it's got to happen. You need a good audience. It's almost the most important thing other than the quality of the performers. And in America, you know, we've just been so lucky with the audiences we've had. And the music is great. And this series that we've just done had wonderful guests. You know, we had celebrity guests who really, we sort of decided we were going to have people on who could really either sing or dance or really contribute rather than just sort of be there. And we've been incredibly lucky with those as well. So those will be coming up. But as I said, the shows that we've got starting in the next couple of weeks are really some of my favorites because they just show you some things that you don't normally see. So I'm hoping people will tune in for those. And I think it's a great hour with a joke off because they're different, but they have the same energy and the same, high octane amount of jokes. You just get a lot of laughs in an episode. And if you come away not laughing, then I'd be surprised because I think it's a lot of belly laughs.
Mm-hmm. Since you're here, I want to give you the chance to do some air clearing because in the last few months, there have been some reports going around that this set of Whose Line Is It Anyway episodes will be the last on the CW. So what can you say about where things stand going beyond this season?
Well, the season that's going on at the moment has another season after it anyway because that's the season we've just recorded. I always say never say never. We just don't know, you know. We don't know what's going to happen, but I would not necessarily think that it was absolutely gone. By the way, I also want to scotch a rumor that you know there was this sense that we were being cancelled. You know, not I don't mean cancelled in the you know more that we just finished. We've been asked to finish, but that's not true. There's still a big appetite for the show. So it's whether the performers you know will want to do it. But I tell you the shows we just did, the last batch that we recorded were wonderful, and we've got a number of extra shows out of those anyway. So we will be on for a good while longer, and then when the sort of well is dry and we've put out all the shows, then we'll look at it again and see how people are feeling and see how I'm feeling, see whether my body can take it anymore. But it's I'm really hopeful that it's not the end.
Before you go, Dan, I wanted to ask you, YouTube has been so great in terms of giving people here in the United States the chance to see a lot of the classic British comedy series, whether it's Morecambe and Wise, or Dave Allen and Large, or Benny Hill, or the game show that Bob Monkhouse did. I thought he was a fantastic comedian and host. Or Bruce Forsyth in the various shows
he did,
because he put a lot of comedy in. And I'm wondering if you feel that now American audiences, because of YouTube, have become more appreciative of British humor, whether it's cerebral, whether it's classic slapstick, or stand-up, or doing it as part of being a host.
I absolutely agree with you on that. And I think I was in America at university. I was at Ann Arbor, Michigan, and then Northwestern University in Chicago, and in the 80s. And at that time, I think there was just pretty much no crossover at all. Maybe Benny Hill, but that was it, and maybe a few formats like All in the Family was Till Death Us Do Part, and a few things like that, but not many. I think Three's Company was Man About the House. Now, just because of the way TV works and YouTube and the internet and all sorts of things, I think there's absolutely, plus, you know, Whose Line, I think, was a bit of a pioneer in that we were, I think, the first show to come over and say, we're not selling you the format to do, we're coming over and making it. And we were obviously helped in that because we had Americans already on the show. We already had Ryan, Colin and Wayne, so that helped. But I think we were sort of the first one to do that, and after us, then they started taking Millionaire, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and all sorts of other British shows, you know, Pop Idol, these sorts of things came over. And now you've got people like James Corden, and you've got John Oliver, and you've got, by the way, John Oliver, I think, got his TV start, I think I'm right in saying, on my show, which is called Mock the Week, which is another show I do. And so you've got lots of British voices there anyway, and I think people are just more open to it. It doesn't seem as different anymore. And in the same way, you know, we grew up on wonderful television from the States, whether it was the Phil Silvers Show or whether it was Bewitched or whether it was the Smothers Brothers or Laugh-In, and then through to Friends and Seinfeld and Everybody Loves Raymond and Cheers, all these sorts of things, you know, we've grown up on, so we've got the rhythm of those shows. And I think it felt that when we sat down on the joke-off with the British comedians and American comedians, it felt they had a lot in common. Okay, there was the odd time where, for example, Glenn Moore would say something and Dulce would say, "We don't say that," and they'd riff on that a bit, and that was great. But by and large, I think they have a tremendous amount in common. And I think that's exactly as you say, because so many of the shows are shown in both places now, and I think that's a massive advantage. And I'm an enormous fan. I grew up on American comedy, and I think American comedy is absolutely wonderful. And I love British comedy too, so to be able to sort of have a foot in both camps, I consider a great privilege, and one that I can hope can continue for a while.
Dan Patterson's newest creation, The Great American Joke-Off, premieres tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time in your local CW station, right after the 10th year premiere of Whose Line's It Anyway at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local list for the CW station in your area, and for more details about the program online, go to CWTV.com or CWTV.com. And don't forget, the programs are also carried on the CW app, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices and other places as well. Dan Patterson, thank you very much for making the time from London to join us. Congratulations on your new series and bringing Whose Line back, and hopefully with both shows, many, many more seasons to come. It has been a great treat to have you on.
Thanks, Simon. I've really enjoyed it, and thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome, Dan. Take care. Have a wonderful premiere tomorrow night, and all the greatest.
Thank you.
Dan Patterson, the co-creator of Whose Line's It Anyway and the creator and executive producer of The Great American Joke-Off, which premieres tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on the CW. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, an up segment about one of our guests that got a award announcement earlier today, and something I'd like to see, make way for metaverse television. We'll explain why. All that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and Tune.com, together reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out tonight a very special Women's History Month program. Celia Cruz, queen of salsa music. If you love salsa mama music, Celia Cruz was one of the greatest, the person who loved the sabor. Celia Cruz, queen of salsa music, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best Beat Show always comes your way 24-7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Thursday afternoon, next to last day of March 2023, first day of Major League Baseball's new season. All the teams are in action. Yankees are playing as we speak. We've met to playing later, and not currently. And we're looking forward to a great year for both New York Metropolitan teams. We have some more stuff coming your way. And it kicks off with our classic trivia question of the week. We're looking for our second weekly winner in a row. And if you are first to the correct answer, we will bring you as a prize two NBC Universal notepads. You can use them in all sorts of occasions, in all sorts of ways. And here is the question from which you can win them. Name the 1994 USA Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. Name the 1994 USA Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. If you know the answer, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address so that if you win, get the prize out to you. And again, here's the question. Name the 1994 USA Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. You know the answer? Get in and email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, name and mailing address along with your answer, and only through email. And if you're a previous guest or a previous winner, you are not eligible. If we don't get a winner by the end of this Thursday, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWT. Remember, to win, get in there and play in. Good day to do it. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row, and that winner can be you. So be involved, and all the very best. And now it's time for a regular feature called Something I'd Like to See. where we muse about a situation that we think television should do. And today's topic, make way for metaverse television. Over the last year and a half, 2 years, we have had all this conversation about the metaverse, what it is, what it can be, how it will impact our lives, and so on and so forth. And there's also been a lot of conversation about how the metaverse will show up through virtual reality helmets, goggles, glasses, on your smartphone, on your tablet, your personal computer. And very little conversation up to this point about whether television could be or will be a way to see and act in the metaverse. In other words, the metaverse showing up right on your screen, like any other communications platform. I have a hunch that Bob Chapek, the former head of Walt Disney, in the year he was in that role, and at numerous occasions, including his final occasion last year at the Paley Center for Media, before he was pulled out for Bob Iger, he did a lot of talk about the metaverse being a way for Disney Plus to create the next generation of storytelling. And he, like everybody else, was very nebulous about what exactly next generation storytelling is and exactly what the metaverse is and how it works for Disney Plus and other elements of Walt Disney. Now, in case you're wondering what the metaverse is, how it is defined, I found a definition earlier this month when I went to the Interactive Ad Bureau's Playfronts event, which I covered for Media Village. You can see the columns at MediaVillage.com. And that's thanks to a book being distributed over there called The Metaverse by Matthew Ball, who is a former global head of strategy for Amazon Studios. It's a wonderful book. And here's how he defines the metaverse, at least when he writes and speaks about it. And I quote, "A massively scaled and interoperable network of real-time rendered 3D virtual worlds that can be experienced synchronously and persistently by an effectively unlimited number of users with an individual sense of presence and with continuity of data, such as identity, history, entitlements, objects, communications, and payments." Say it one more time. His definition of the metaverse is a massively scaled and interoperable network of real-time rendered 3D virtual worlds that can be experienced synchronistically and persistently by an effectively unlimited number of users with an individual sense of presence and with continuity of data, such as identity, history, entitlements, objects, communications, and payments. And yet, in this entire book, when it comes to, hey, what role can TV have in being a carrier of the metaverse for all of us to see and use, he says absolutely nothing. The only TV references, and there are very few, are to Netflix, which incidentally, as we speak, is now looking into the possibility of having their video games play on the television set. And that's because they may have gotten the message, and I hope you will as well, that when it comes to Matthew Ball's definition of the metaverse, we already have a metaverse situation in play, video games. And more people are playing video games on their television set without the use of a Sony PlayStation, a Xbox, or any other big console. They can do it through their voice remote, or a joystick-type device, a controller that's aimed right at the center with all the buttons and knobs you need to use. And that's because smart TV sets and smart TV makers have put in artificial intelligence, the wherewithal, to use video games in such a way that you can play them on the set without the console and with very little work wherewithal. And that's important because if the metaverse is going to do anything, is going to make any difference in society, it must get out to the masses of mediums, the mass, M-A-S-S of mediums. It must get a mass audience off the bat so that people, no matter where they come from, can use the metaverse, can be inspired by the metaverse and all its applications or possible applications. And right now, hate to say it, virtual reality helmets and goggles and glasses don't cut it. At best, limited audience. Why? Too expensive, sometimes too tough to use, not much content, and only certain audiences might experiment with it. And that's the problem. And a metaverse is not going to fare very well if it has a limited audience. And smart TV sets and smart TV devices are the way that metaverses, starting with video games, can reach a mass audience, can have multiple people playing the game at the same time. 90% plus of all U.S. households have smart TV sets and devices. And we are now at the critical mass where many of these products have the artificial intelligence, certainly audio, with services or apps like Siri, Google Assistant, Alexa, Cortana, and more video that allow you to create the kind of metaverse apps that you can use easily through your voice, through a voice remote, in the case of video games, or virtual worlds, through a joystick controller or a special plug-in device. That's what was demonstrated by one company at the Game Developers Conference last week. We talked about it last week. We're still trying to get the chief executive officer of that organization, which is showing a way to play video games with a special plug into your television set and use your body. It's all body language. No problem. And there are other educational and very interesting applications you can get interactive with through this product. And we've already had virtual worlds happen on the television set. Remember all the discussion about Rival Peak, the GenFit Technologies project that was on Portal TV, Facebook, now Meta's smart TV device. And let's not forget the augmented reality animation done live that Portal TV had as a regular feature for video chat. Looked good, worked well, and if maybe Facebook, now Meta Platforms, had showcased it a lot more, although they had some very wonderful TV spots with the Muppets that ran regularly here and there, it might have gotten that mass audience. So you have smart TV sets, because of their circulation, because they are adopted and embraced by the masses, because they can easily adopt interactive, whether it's telehealth, telemedicine, teleeducation, commerce, which is about to break out as a marketplace, thanks to what Roku is doing with Walmart and DoorDash, what NBC Universal may do shortly with Peacock with Must Shop TV. Check out the interview we did earlier, the same we did earlier this year about that project at our websites, our podcast sites, and so forth. And you have a great opportunity, maybe the best opportunity for the metaverse to happen. And what's needed now is a conversation to start. And I'm hoping that today's segment is the beginning of a conversation that the TV industry, the technology industry, everybody involved has about TV as a cornerstone, a centerpiece of displaying the metaverse to a mass audience, to a mass metaverse-using audience. It's a shame that in Walt Disney's cost-cutting of 7,000 jobs to get rid of about $5.5 billion in savings, that JPEG's metaverse unit was smothered. Only one person survived that unit this week. That's the person that was in charge. He used to be with Disney Consumer Products. He's being reassigned to another position. Bob Chapek, whatever you thought of him and how he ran Disney, he was onto something with next-generation storytelling. And here's hoping that somehow in Bob Iger's mind, that even though he cut this unit down to zip, that he will find a way to make that vision happen with Disney Plus, and maybe with ABC, and maybe with Freeform, and maybe with ESPN and ESPN Plus, and all the other television ventures that Disney has up its sleeve. We need to have a conversation about this. We need to have real, strong, out-in-front conversation about can we get a metaverse going and can TV be that centerpiece? I believe it can. We already have virtual worlds operating on television. They are video games. And we're going to see more of them being played on the television set without that console equipment, as opposed to smartphones and tablets and PCs and all that. The gameplay is going to get better. The ad community is now looking at in-game advertising. The TV picture looks better and better than ever. And now we're seeing game developers really incorporate television without consoles into their development of games and where they play. This is the right opportunity to have that conversation and to have people in action. And incidentally, let's remember also that LG at CES 2023 announced a metaverse television project with Sansar. Sadly, they did not invite somebody from Sansar to get up on that stage in Las Vegas and showcase what they're doing. And LG is still not, 2 months later, off their CES presentation, have come out with a press release about what they're doing with Sansar. And we understand that some other companies are also looking at the same idea of metaverse TV projects. That buzz is spreading. We are still trying to get Sansar to come on this program to talk about this deal with LG and what they're up to and how they see television playing in the metaverse. I also want you to know that over the weekend, I am going to get in touch with the publisher of Matthew Bull's book and invite Matthew to come on the program. Because I think he has a lot to say about where TV can go in the metaverse. Even though he didn't say in his book, I want to give him the opportunity to speak about where he sees TV's role and maybe have a wonderful dialogue with him about it. Bottom line, now is the time to have this conversation. And also to spotlight the people behind the scenes who are trying to make metaverse television go and go far and make a difference to all of you out there. So let's make way for metaverse television in conversation, in actions, and ultimately in what you can see and use through your smart television set or device. And that's something I'd like to see. I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about metaverse television? If it was available in some fashion, depending on the application, would you use it? How? So on and so forth. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or let's have a conversation on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebound, Twitter, UBC Simon, TWT. I'm up for it. Hope you are too. Let's hear from you. And we still have a few minutes left. If you have a call, want to call in with your thoughts, do so, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Well, again, I want to let you know that a week ago, Rael Tucker, the showrunner of The Power, the brand new saga produced around the world for Prime Video, premieres tomorrow. It's already starting to get very good reviews. You can see them on RottenTomatoes.com. And if you missed our wonderful interview with Rael, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or go to our various podcast sites like the iRadio Podcast Network and Spotify and Podvine.com and Player FM, et cetera, and check it out for yourself. And also check out our other episodes. We've had a very good bunch of episodes so far this month. And we have one more to go on our program. That's tomorrow. And joining us tomorrow at our special time, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, we will have our lead guest is Steve Revo, the executive producer and showrunner of the new Hulu docuseries that premiered earlier today, Rap Caviar Presents, based on the popular Spotify playlist feature. Also joining us, the creative executive producers of Disney Channel, Animated Toon, The Ghost, and Molly McGee, Bill Motz, and Bob Roth. And 1 week from today on Tomorrow Be Televised, my guests will include the former Tyler Perry Studios president, now the founder of her own company. She wants to make a big studio out of it for television and other things. A Few Good Women Productions, Michelle Sneed. Plus, somebody who was supposed to be on our show tomorrow can't do it because of a meeting that got moved to another time period, our time period, it turns out. The founder of the new TV service, ProfileSport.tv. It started as a website and a mobile app. Now it's a TV service on smart TV sets and devices, Diana Wilson. And a great author of books about the world of television, Herbie Pilato. His latest book is called Retroactive Television. He is also the producer and writer of a new special coming up on the life and great TV career of the star of Bewitched and much more, Elizabeth Montgomery. That's all coming up 1 week from today here on Tomorrow Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And before we leave you today, we have a time for Up as an update where we catch up on guests and topics on this program. On our episode March 10th, we introduce you to Maggie Salas Amaro. She is the director of Canela Kids, one of the smart TV services run by Canela Media. We were there because we had her on to talk about the first original animated tune in Spanish that they're doing called Super Elias. It's a wonderful tune that showcases in a very unique way some of the great personalities in the world of Latino women and what they've accomplished in their lives in all sorts of fields, from entertainment to sports. Well, we're happy to tell you that earlier today, Maggie found out that Super Elias has been one of the winners of the annual Gracie Award from American Women in Radio and Television. So they will be getting the honor in May in Los Angeles. Incidentally, the Gracie Awards are handed out in two different awards, for national programming and national personalities in television and radio in Los Angeles, and then later on a local and student programming award here in New York. So congratulations to everybody at Canela Kids and to Maggie Salas Amaro for getting Super Elias off the ground. I have a hunch you will see a second season of that series announced very, very soon. Incidentally, Canela Media will be one of the people that will be presenting what they've got coming up at the annual Interactive Ad Bureau New Front to take place May 1st through the 4th here in New York. I think everything will be in person this time around, and we'll keep you posted about what they announce when that happens the first week in May. Again, congratulations to Canela Kids. If you want to catch the interview that we did with Maggie Salas Amaro, director of Canela Kids, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast, as well as our website for the fine folks on Podium, tomorrowbetelevised.com. And that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, thank you to Dan Patterson, the co-creator of Whose Line Is It Anyway, and the creator and executive producer of the new CW series, Great American Joke Off. That's tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on your local CW station. For more details, online, cwtv.com. And, of course, all the CW programming is available on the CW app 24/7. In many cases, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, website, et cetera, et cetera. And we appreciate his time calling us up from London. And congratulations also on 35 years of Whose Line Is It Anyway. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific, the beginning of the 10th year of Whose Line on the CW. So thanks again to Dan for being with us, all of you for tuning in. We do appreciate it. And also to all of our guests who have been with us all month long. One more time while we have a moment. Let's give you the classic trivia question. We're going for our second weekly win in a row. Name the 1994 U.S. Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. Two, NBC Universal notepads will come your way if you are first with the correct answer by email. Just use simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon. TWBT. That's the UBC Simon, TWBT. And incidentally, here on Tomorrow Be Televised, we have another feature that could involve your email participation, and that is our show to know. Is there a TV series you like that's around or about to come on that doesn't get attention? We'd like to give it the attention, and let's hear from you about it. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. So let us know about the program, all the details, when it's running or where it will be running, and when. And email that to simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we use your thoughts on the air, you get the credit. So once again, tomorrow, we're on at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Again, our guest, Steve Rebo, executive producer and showrunner of the new Hulu docuseries that premiered earlier today, Rap Caviar Presents, based on a Spotify feature. And Bill Motz and Bob Roth, the creative executive producers of the popular Disney Channel and his series, The Ghost of Mal McGee, which is going into its second season later this spring. If you came in late on today's episode and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can also check us out after we go off the air in a matter of moments on podcasts, on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and other great podcast sites. And we want to thank all of our podcast destinations for taking our show and doing their best to market and promote it. And, of course, you can also catch us on our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.com, produced by the gang at On Podium. We always love hearing from you. You really make the show work. So email me with your thoughts. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And remember, you can find me 24/7 on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook and also at LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and Twitter, UBC Simon WT. And remember, you also catch me every week in persona on Sports Newswire, the daily sports news information show. Now it's on at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, always covering the world of television, sports, and much, much more. That's Sports Newswire, weekdays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. I'm on there once a week on the Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles like Amazon Freevee. We really appreciate your input. You make the show fly, so keep those emails and social media postings welcome. I do respond to them within 24 hours, and we do so because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Dave Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Fakus is our web coordinator. For tomorrow be televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Enjoy the baseball that's starting up. Brand new season of Major League Baseball starting today. ESPN will have a special opening day game later tonight. And we'll catch you all tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, an hour later than usual. Take that in mind. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, plus all of our podcast destinations and our website. Whatever you're doing to now and then, of course, make it safe. And above all, make it great for you and others you love. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And in the immortal words of Aisha Tyler, let's make some stuff up. You got it.